Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. Today has been a crazy day in South Africa. Yesterday the blacks started all their nonsense. These taxi associations went on their attack of other blacks. There are so many things about Africa that people outside Africa don't understand, and they don't understand why I believe that it's possible for whites to do all kinds of things and to survive in this situation, as crazy as it may seem. These blacks are busy with a whole bunch of nonsense. I'm going to try and sum up as best I can just a little bit of what's happened, because there have been so many messages. I got so many messages from all my contacts and the various groups and videos, audio messages, text messages, all kinds of things. Because here in South Africa, these blacks who run these taxi associations said that they're going to attack all foreign drivers, and they started attacking foreign trucks. You see, there are large numbers of blacks who have fled from the rest of Africa to South Africa. They fled here because their own countries are a mess. We've got large numbers of Zimbabweans here. I wouldn't be surprised if half the population of Zimbabweans actually left Zimbabwe and lives outside of Zimbabwe. Plus, we've got Nigerians, and Nigeria is very far away. It's West Africa, but we've got quite a lot of Nigerians here. And they come here and they engage in business, but they also engage in criminal activity, drug dealing, running brothels, all that sort of stuff. They are notorious for selling cocaine and that kind of thing. So now the blacks are engaging in what the liberals call xenophobia, which is to attack other blacks. They've done this before. They've done this before on a number of occasions. And the most intense attacks took place in 2009. The most intense attacks took place in 2009. These foreign blacks were living in the black townships alongside the local blacks in 2009. And the blacks went and hunted them out and killed them. I think that despite all the violence, there's lots of violence and tremendous amounts of damage to property. But for all the violence and the unbelievable damage to property, there are actually very few actual casualties. Like in 2009, if I recall, after burning places down, carrying on for days and days and days on end, that only killed like 190 blacks or something. That only killed like 190. But it was like the whole country was burning. Well, at least all the townships. They were even saying that it was worse than during the apartheid time, or almost equal to the apartheid time. And yet the total number who were actually killed was like less than 200. But the whole purpose is to drive the foreign blacks out. And inside South Africa, there are blacks who don't want the foreign blacks because they say that they're taking their jobs, which is also true, because the black South Africans are so freaking lazy and useless that when blacks come from another country, they are cheaper to hire, they work better, and that's how it goes. So these blacks have driven other blacks out before. The biggest I recall was 2009. But they've done smaller scale efforts like it. But it looks like we are in the midst of yet another one. And it's a big one. This time the taxi associations are driving it. And the amount of money that must be behind these things must be staggering. Because to arrange all these things, gather all these people together, drive long distances, go to places, attack a place, drive out blacks, go to the next place, this must be costing millions and millions, if not tens of millions of rands. It must easily be costing tens of millions of rands. It cannot be cheap. It cannot be cheap. And it's caused a lot of damage to the economy, and the blacks have been burning down stores as well. The attacks this time are not in the townships. It's like they're attacking blacks living in the suburbs. Now, there are suburbs that used to be where whites were that have become black, sort of white flight suburbs, you could say. And then there are the suburbs where whites are still a majority. And these blacks have been hunting down blacks in suburbs where the blacks are a majority. And it's been happening all over. But I've not seen anything directly. Nothing has come close to my home, though apparently the closest to my home has been a few kilometers away. I'm told that the closest was in Mayfair. But it's very chaotic, and there are warnings going out during the day. Whites are sending each other messages at a hectic pace. Messages are coming through, voice messages, text messages, warnings, all kinds of things, and then video footage. I've got a whole bunch of video footage, and I'll have to see how I can gather the video footage together so that I can just go through all the stuff just to show you what's been going on, because it's been wildly crazy. It's been wildly crazy. I'll see what I can do tomorrow. And these blacks have been hitting these foreign blacks in various places. And then, of course, the foreign blacks, some of them have been running away. Like, I contacted a Zimbabwean that I know well, and he told me that he'd actually left South Africa a week ago. He and his family got the hell out of Johannesburg because they knew that they could be killed this week. And he's sitting in Zimbabwe. He told me he got the fuck out of here. So it's been very, very wild. And these blacks really are serious about killing other blacks. So among the things that I can think of, just a few highlights for today, just to give you a quick roundup of what the heck's been going on. There's been stuff that's been going on today. It might even be going on right into the night, from what I've been hearing from my contacts. It's as if the blacks are still attacking places in Johannesburg right in this evening. I'm recording this at 11:24 p.m. on the 3rd of September 2019. And I'm told that you can hear my phone going off. Those are messages just passing through. So many, I just can't keep up. I just have to call it a day. The messages have been about all these events, and then they'll be in a place in the morning, and then they'll be further away later on. The blacks seem to, sometimes the police are there, sometimes the police are not there. But these attacks are going on in various places all around Johannesburg. But they seem to be avoiding the white suburbs. They are hunting for foreign blacks. And they are hunting especially for Zimbabweans and Nigerians. Now, among the things that I've seen, one of the pieces of film footage that I got today was that the blacks also totally wiped out a store. They've damaged many, many things. They've done a lot of damage. I wonder how much damage they've done. But I will tell you that in some video footage I've seen, but the one piece of video footage that I saw was a store in South Africa known as Makro. Makro is part of a huge chain of stores called Mass Mart. And Mass Mart has got 442 stores in South Africa. That is as per July figures. So Mass Mart, but the real owner of Mass Mart is actually Walmart in America. Walmart bought out 52% shareholding of Mass Mart some years ago. And another big shareholder in Massmart that controls about 25% of it is a Scottish company called Aberdeen something. And the actual South African holdings of Massmart is 25% or less. So Walmart owns 52%. So Makro is one of several chains of stores that Walmart owns. The blacks went and they wiped out the whole thing. They ripped it to pieces. The whole store is filled with products. In Walmarts in America, they don't always pack the stuff. They don't pack the stuff quite the way Makro does. Makro has a way of packing shelves that are much higher than your head. They can pack shelves that are like two stories high. These blacks went and they ripped everything out. They stole everything. They tore the whole thing apart. I'll get this film footage out so you can see it. But the place is totally ruined. So they wiped out this macro in Germiston. Germiston is slightly to the east of Johannesburg. Germiston is actually a place where a lot of my older family used to live. I had aunts and uncles and nephews who grew up in Germiston, and Germiston is now black. Anyway, they totally wiped out this macro there. Then I chatted to a white guy who drives the truck for a big Portuguese shop, and the white guy told me that he went to the Johannesburg market to buy fruit and vegetables. He said the Johannesburg market is not functioning at all. He said everything is dead, and he said it's so tricky to drive around. I actually have got the audio of my discussion with him. So it was a very fascinating discussion. He said it's dangerous, and he's not driving out to those suburbs. I live about 10 to 15 kilometers to the west of Johannesburg, to the west of the central business district of Johannesburg. So this stuff is all pretty close, but it's not actually moved into the white suburbs. So these blacks have been going around and they've been smashing things. Then I heard from the white truck driver. He told me that there were Somalians in a suburb near me, and that the Somalians apparently have AK-47s. Now that is very interesting, but after much thought on the matter, I'm not sure if it is true that they have AK-47s. If they do, I would be very interested, because I'd like to know how they got them. But it could also just be something that they're spreading, because I've also seen propaganda. I've also, this evening, you can hear the messages going. I'll keep it and you can hear when the messages are going, because I just don't have time to read these things now. But I have seen some propaganda doing the rounds as well among the blacks. I saw, for example, propaganda that's gone out where they claim that these foreign blacks are going to poison the food that the blacks buy from their shops. I actually think that it's propaganda probably from the blacks who are attacking them in order to scare people away from buying from them. That's what I think. And among the most interesting pieces of film footage I saw today was film footage where blacks were bringing machetes and other similar kinds of weapons to Nigerians. And it was very interesting. During the day, as I was getting messages, I was actually commenting on some of them and spreading it among the whites and just giving them some of my thoughts on what is happening and what we can learn from this. And I was very interested in the film footage where a vehicle comes and where blacks are busy handing out machetes to other blacks. And it seemed to definitely be that the Nigerians were arming themselves so that if the other blacks come at them and start throwing rocks and things at them, that then they are going to be able to defend themselves. So the one vehicle had like a whole stack of machetes in them, and you saw the blacks grabbing them, and then they were feeling a lot more confident. So I thought that was very fascinating, and it showed the speed with which the blacks who are under attack were starting to realize their danger, and they were preparing to defend themselves. And I was telling the whites that this is exactly the kind of situation that I was foreseeing in an actual race war, that even if we were totally unprepared, that within hours and within 2 or 3 days, we would be running around, we'd be trying to help each other, we'd be trying to find weapons, we'd be trying to do all kinds of things. And it was fascinating. I don't know if the film footage of the Nigerians getting the weapons was yesterday or today, but what it does tell me is that they moved pretty fast. They moved pretty fast. So I said to the whites, you know, at most, these blacks have had 2 days, at most, to start arming themselves. There you can see they're arming themselves. I also got a message late this evening to say that the blacks are going to attack Hillbrow. Those of you who saw my video about what Napoleon would teach white South Africans, those who saw my video about what Napoleon would teach white South Africans, in there you'll see all the stuff about Hillbrow and where the black street vendors chased the police away. And you saw the white policeman who was injured, and you saw the events there. Well, those are the blacks that are going to get hit tomorrow. But with this message also spreading out, it may also make many of these blacks flee. And I think that is really the game here. The game is here to use by black standards, to use a mild amount of force to scare and physically chase out other blacks. And I don't think they intend to just murder outright. They seem to just be intent on hurting them, making them uncomfortable. I saw in a black newspaper, I saw photos of a black who got pretty badly injured in a township from this. So they take these other blacks and they give them a good beating and they hurt them really, really seriously. And then these blacks know, you know, this is the message, get the hell out. So that'll give you some idea of what's going on. And it looks like tomorrow is going to be quite hectic. There are things that the blacks say in these messages that I afterwards sit and wonder how much is true, because this one about the attack on Hillbrow, the interesting part of that is that the message from the black guy was that other blacks would come from Natal. That would mean Zulus are coming. Though traditionally Zulus are the main leaders, Zulus are the main leaders of these attacks, these so-called xenophobic attacks. The Zulus play a big role in this. They are actually the main ones doing the fighting. And these Zulus, I would be quite certain, my own thinking is that even as it is now, the Zulus must already have been playing a big role in this. I know President Zuma, who was the previous president, the moment he came to power, that's when the townships just went alight, man. The townships went alight. They were burning for days on end. They were hitting the foreigners. There's got to be high-level blacks in government, in the ANC, that have quietly given a nod, nod, wink, wink, and said, go for it, chase these other blacks out. And it's stirring up hatred between the blacks. But the most interesting hatred is between the Nigerians, and the South Africans. The Zimbabweans, not so much. I had heard some years ago, 2 years ago, that Zimbabweans were armed and ready, that if they were going to be attacked, that they had pistols and they were going to defend their suburb. But I'm not so sure now. However, for me, the funniest stuff was the Nigerians versus the South Africans. The Nigerians come from Nigeria. South African blacks are maybe 40 million, whereas the Nigerians in their home country, they're like 180 million. So a Nigerian trade union leader or something like that, he actually issued a ultimatum. He said that the South African businesses in Nigeria need to leave Nigeria. But this is not a government official. This is like some kind of trade union guy. He says 7 days to get out of Nigeria. And apparently there are 120 South African businesses, some of them very big, are in Nigeria. One of them is a cell phone company, and then others that I didn't know about. One of them is a chain of supermarkets. And the Nigerians said they're going to hit back. But now, these are not the government Nigerians that are saying it. These are common Nigerians. Anyhow, I enjoyed the message. I thought it was freaking cool, you know. Let these blacks send a message. Because they are now fighting with each other. And exactly as I've been trying to tell those of you in North America, the blacks have got lots of problems among themselves. And they've also got lots of problems with each other. The only people who kept peace in this continent were the whites. The whites actually stopped these people from killing each other, which is what we should not be doing, which is all wrong. The whites created peace in Africa. And now that the whites aren't in charge, now you can start seeing these things falling apart. And I've been enjoying it. I've been loving it. But the most interesting has been the Nigerians with the South Africans. And I saw another message, listened to another message which made me laugh. And where a Nigerian said, we are busy fucking your women, and we're going to turn your women into prostitutes, and we're going to sell more drugs, you motherfuckers. Oh man, I'm enjoying the Nigerian messages back at the South Africans. But anyhow, I just thought it was just going to be a bunch of messages. To my absolute freaking amazement, this evening, about 5 hours ago, so it's 11 o'clock, so at about 8 o'clock in the evening, these Nigerians started attacking Nigerians in Nigeria. Attacked a ShopRite. ShopRite Checkers is a big chain of stores in South Africa, and they have some stores in Nigeria. And these blacks were actually attacking a ShopRite Checkers in Nigeria. So how freaking cool is this? In the age of the internet, with these blacks having internet access and communications, the anger of the Nigerians inside South Africa and their communications back to the blacks in Nigeria. I mean, Nigeria is thousands of kilometers away. It's possibly 6,000 kilometers away. These blacks in Nigeria have been listening to their brothers in pain in South Africa. And they went and they attacked a South African store. And I think the police were in there and the police may have shot somebody. And that's also interesting because you see the police in Nigeria, it seems they shoot to kill. And I've also been looking recently at film footage where other black countries are shooting to kill. I've seen actual film footage. I suspect the one set of film footage is from Malawi, which is to the north of Zimbabwe. they've got some kind of unrest. And Malawi is also a communist. There used to be a non-communist in there, then about 10, 15 years ago, communists got in, and it seems there are now protests in Malawi, and I saw actual film footage where two or three Malawian policemen are kneeling, and they actually blow away some blacks, and the blacks drop down dead, and you see them coming and picking up the dead and dying blacks with stretchers. Not many blacks, but they cleared out a small protest using live bullets. In Zimbabwe and those places, all these black countries, when those governments have got protests, they just send the troops to just go and kill the people outright. It is only in South Africa, only in South Africa, that the police are not allowed to shoot to kill. And that is because the government is itself behind the violence. The government's own agents are the ones actually busy with the violence. So they don't want their own people killed. They are basically using this violence as a way of blackmailing the rich, the Jews, the Western world. That's what they're busy doing with this. It's a game of blackmail. But anyway, I was just astounded that these blacks went and started burning down a ShopRite Checkers in Nigeria. I suspect if the Nigerian police have been shooting blacks, have shot one black, that if the blacks touch other businesses, that the army and the police will just kill any blacks who touch businesses. That this kind of lawlessness that is in South Africa, exactly as I've said to you before, this lawlessness is all stage managed. These blacks would not be able to get away with any of this stuff if the government didn't give them a wink, wink, and a nudge, nudge, and made sure that they were treated with kid gloves and so forth. Also, the police having some setbacks in Heilbron in July, which is in that Napoleon video of mine, that also can result in those blacks there who were chasing away the police. Tomorrow they'll be meeting other blacks, and those blacks are going to be out to hurt them. So that could be payback. That could be the ruling party's payback. We won't kill you with our police, but we'll send the taxi associations and others, and then we're going to really hurt you. And then it's going to be gloves off. So these blacks fighting with the Nigerians. This can only be bad for Nigerian-South African relations, and I was having a good laugh at that. I was enjoying it. And I'm enjoying the foreigners hitting back, and I actually prefer the foreigners, the foreign blacks, to be around, because as I was explaining to the whites, you must remember the blacks who are actually threatening us are the blacks who live here. Those are the blacks who want to steal our property, want to steal the farms, want to steal everything and destroy the whites. So having other non-whites from elsewhere in Africa here and having tension between the local blacks and those blacks is good. And I was saying to the whites that we should actually make friends with some of these blacks, these other blacks who are being attacked. Because there could be some interesting things that could come out of that. Because they come from other countries, there are all kinds of possible uses that these blacks can provide to us. So I actually look on it as my enemy's enemy is my friend. And I was telling whites that I liked some of the stuff I was hearing, although I'm not sure how true some of the stuff is. But I will say one thing, it definitely does seem to be that the Nigerians, of all the blacks, the Nigerians have hit back. I recall a few years ago, even the blacks from Mozambique, which used to be a Portuguese territory, which bordered on Rhodesia, that the blacks of South Africa were harming blacks from Mozambique and chasing them back, and that's also caused stress. Now, the blacks of Africa have always felt that they were supporting the blacks of South Africa against apartheid. And now that it's all over, those blacks want in on the action of South Africa, and the local blacks don't want their action taken away from them, because the action is getting less and less as South Africa is imploding and South Africa is being dysfunctional. So I got to tell you that blacks across Africa, and I've observed this more and more over the years, the blacks of South Africa are not popular with blacks in other countries. The blacks of South Africa have made enemies in many parts of Africa, and that I like a lot as well. I like that a lot as well. And I think this thing with the Nigerians, this thing is really interesting and fascinating. And the Nigerians, for example, even though they may be doing crime and some of them may have quite a lot of money, I must tell you something. I thought about the fact, if these Nigerians are here, why don't they just jump on a plane? Because it's actually easy to get out of South Africa. If they know that trouble is coming, they could just jump on a plane, fly back to Nigeria, and just sit this whole thing out. When the blacks calm down in a couple of days' time, then they could just jump back on a plane and come back. But actually, it's like these Nigerians see their places as their territory, and they are actually willing to stick around and face these blacks. And that is very fascinating. Very fascinating. Those blacks have got no links to South Africa. They have no right to be here. And yet they're already treating it as if it's their own. And they're not running. And that is fascinating. That is, again, something the whites could use. You see, all these blacks, like these blacks who are criminals. Now you're going to say, Jan, why are you interested in blacks who are criminals? Because blacks who are criminals are going to come in real handy in a real warfare situation. If we have a real war going on, there could be blacks who are criminals and have criminal connections, and we could tap into that. That would be something I would explore immediately. That is something I would definitely explore. If there were blacks who were criminals and whites were under physical attack, I would immediately explore the possibilities of whether black criminals have access to other things in Africa that we might need. And it has happened in the past, like in the wars with the blacks, that the Bushmen, for example, the San people, the Bushmen hated the blacks so much that the Bushmen were trackers for the whites, and the Bushmen served in our armies, and they were very useful. So having blacks from other parts of Africa who are very angry with the blacks of South Africa, that can be very, very useful. In fact, the Muslim terrorist group Boko Haram, I think that's their name, Boko Haram or something, they also actually issued a warning to the blacks of South Africa. They said that they're going to attack South African interests. So you've got some wild blacks, some of them with guns and money out there, and these blacks could be very useful. I want to tell you, this can be very useful. Don't imagine that the whites can just sit alone and all the blacks of Africa are just going to pile on to them. Not if you play your cards right, my friend. If you play your cards right, there could be some very fascinating games. And when I was in Canada, I was telling the whites, towards the end of my Canadian tour, I was telling the whites that if the whites of Africa were allowed to negotiate with the blacks and the non-whites on our own basis, that you would see some really strange things. Really strange things are possible. And watching the events of these days, I think even more so. I think even more so. I think there are all kinds of funny, funny things one could start doing. And All these other blacks pouring into South Africa, taking the jobs of the local blacks. The local blacks are lazy, they strike a lot, they use the government against you any chance they get. I really don't care about them, and I'm happy to see that they've got competition. And now that they are fighting with their own competition and driving them out and embittering them, that's excellent. That's excellent. And even the Zimbabweans, there was also something I saw about Zimbabwe. Even the Zimbabweans were starting to warn the blacks of South Africa. And Zimbabwe is a neighboring nation. Hundreds of trucks move between South Africa and Zimbabwe every day. So for me, I was just laughing a lot at some things. Other things were serious, but I was also laughing because I was saying, look, capitalists are being hit. They're hitting capitalists who are anti-white. They are burning down infrastructure that's not related to the whites. They are damaging the country's infrastructure. That's not our problem. They are damaging the infrastructure and business of international businesses like Walmart. All these big companies, like that Massmart company that Walmart owns. I worked for Massmart for a time in the late 1990s. I worked for them, and they disgusted me. And all these companies, I've worked for many of these big companies. I've even been in the head offices of some of them. These companies are garbage, man. These companies are scum. They are liberals. They're anti-white. They drive whites out. They crush whites down. Not one of those companies gives 1 cent to anything that's white. I feel nothing for them. Let the blacks burn them down. So here are the blacks basically chomping off the hand that's feeding them. And I'm looking at this and I'm saying, and how is this our problem? This is not our problem. We didn't create this problem. This is their thing coming unstuck. And that's the beautiful thing that I love, is that the relations between the liberals and the Jews and the blacks and the foreigners and all of this is coming unstuck. And it's fantastic. It's fantastic. These blacks think that they are the bee's knees. They think they're untouchable. They think they can kill anybody they want in South Africa. The government and all these big wigs are giving them the thumbs up. And the beautiful part is that so far the whites are just sitting quietly. I've not heard of any whites coming under attack. And the violence is around the white, is around the areas, but it's not going into the white areas. And I've not heard of any whites under attack. All that I have heard are messages which whites send to each other, where they say, stay away from that road, stay away from that suburb, don't go here, under no conditions go there, get away from it. So as the whites are going about their business, the whites are doing are just avoiding all these things. In this age of internet and technology, it is fascinating how quickly we can respond to things. It's very good. It's excellent, in fact. And I was telling the whites that we are also observing blacks, and we're observing some of their simple military strategies. We are observing things. We're able to watch. And we can see, you know, we can learn from this. It's all good stuff to watch and to observe. The main thing is that if the blacks ever attack the whites in their suburbs and their homes, that's when we really need to use deadly force against them. My own view is that when they go for the whites, if they ever go for the whites, at whatever point they go for the whites in the future, that when they go for the whites, that's when we must use deadly force, unquestionably. No play. If they're coming to damage your property, if they're coming to kill your people, you make sure you try and kill as many of them as you can. So it was a day that bothered the whites a lot. The newspaper headlines were saying anarchy, anarchy. I was very delighted also to see the Star newspaper. The Star newspaper is the biggest newspaper in Africa. The Star, that name, the Star, might even be from a long time ago, that the Star newspaper may in its early days have had communist affiliations or even been a communist newspaper when it was originally founded. It is now regarded as the biggest newspaper in Africa, and I went to have a look at the Star newspaper today quickly. I don't buy it. I just go to the shop and I look at it. I open the newspapers, look at them, chuck them down. And what delighted me about the Star newspaper today was how thin it was. It was really thin. Very little in the Star newspaper. And I was thinking, yeah, I hope you motherfuckers are going bankrupt. I hope you bastards are going bankrupt, you scum. Yeah, the Star newspaper, big old liberal rag. Old anti-white rag. The Star newspaper at one point a couple of years ago would put daily headlines. They'd put out daily headlines where they show just white criminals, only white criminals. And the most treasonous Afrikaans newspaper is called Die Beeld. Die Beeld. Oh, that is a treasonous anti-white newspaper. All of them hideous things. And it so delights me to see the black liberal thing and all the relations with these blacks in power, watching it all starting to fall apart. It's really delighting me. I'm enjoying the trouble that's occurring. And I'm liking the way these other blacks are fighting back. There's definitely going to be good anger that comes out of it. And this isn't the first time it's been done. I'd say this is the second biggest attack. I still think the 2009 attacks were bigger. But this is also big and it's getting a lot of publicity. And it's good that this is creating enemies for the blacks of South Africa. And it's ticking other black countries off. There's some weird stuff going on. The blacks are making lots of moves. The blacks are rolling in the money. This stuff must be costing tens of millions of rands, if not hundreds of millions of rands, to finance. Huge amounts of money are going into this. All of the stuff that comes out of it is negative. It is nasty. It is bad for investment. And then today when I was going and doing a bit of shopping. At one shop, I asked one of the blacks, I said, how is the strike affecting you? And the black woman said to me, my child wants to leave South Africa. I said, really? Where's your child going to go? She said, my child wants to go to New York. And you know what? I've been hearing from other whites that there are blacks that have left South Africa. We are getting to the point where blacks who were born in South Africa are wanting to leave South Africa and are leaving South Africa. So this also brings me back to race war. If we were to have a race war, a truly violent war, that would be one of the side effects. Is you think a lot of whites would leave. You might be surprised. More non-whites might actually leave the country than whites. I'm willing to make that prediction, that in the event of a race war, that more blacks would leave the country, maybe by a factor of 10 to 1, if not more, than whites. I'm willing to lay you a bet on that. Because when the Zimbabweans went and drove out the white farmers, huge numbers of Zimbabweans left the country. Professionals, all their high-paid people, black people, left the country. And they went to London. 600,000 of them. Hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. It's hilarious. This stuff is imploding the country. But the rand is falling a little bit, but not that much actually. Today the rand wasn't even that weak. But I think in the event of a full fight between black and white, then you'll see the economy go for a loop and you'll see blacks fleeing from South Africa. I tell you that will happen. You think all the blacks are just going to come at the whites and just try and nail the whites? You don't understand. There are large numbers of black weakling geeks that have been created by the English liberals. They've created blacks that are useless and cowardly on top of it. And very soft. They're very soft. There are lots of truly soft, truly spoilt, useless blacks in South Africa. And in the event of a race war, you will be shocked. They'll sell their houses, they'll leave the country. Somebody was telling me the other day about a black who left South Africa to go live in New Zealand. And the black was saying, "Oh, I'm so welcomed in New Zealand," because the whites there are still stupid liberals. But the black's saying, "Oh, these people are so nice and they're welcoming me there." So these are the crazy things that are coming out of this. People are forgetting that it's the white males with guns who brought peace and order to Africa. Now the white males with guns aren't active anymore, and now this whole thing is becoming a total loony bin. But what I do like is that the whites are watching. They are watching, passing information at a quite a pace. They're observing. They're sitting and watching. They're keeping themselves safe, and that's good. Let the war play itself out around the whites. This thing will probably be over in a few days' time. These blacks are just going to be running around the country, scaring various other blacks, chasing them out. And of course, as they chase those blacks out into Africa, you're going to hear nasty things. And I'm going to try and hunt for an old video I published on African crisis. I only published about two or three videos on African crisis 10 years ago. And there's one where blacks, even then, were saying that it is the blacks of South Africa that are the most racist people. And I want to tell you, don't imagine that the game is over. This is our territory. We know our territory. If we could just organize ourselves properly and we could work together as a team, and our teamwork is improving, give it time. The whites could still pack a punch. And the craziness of these blacks is creating distrust and hatred among themselves. And it's beautiful. The distrust and hatred that's coming was not created by whites. And all the liberal Jewish lies, where they said, "Oh, well, you see, the reason we got a violent culture is because the whites treated the blacks like this, blah, blah, blah." All liberal Jew nonsense, rubbish, total lies. Let me tell you, here afresh, anew, in the last 20 to 30 years, blacks have created hatred among themselves, and whites didn't play any part in any of this. No white person was involved in this. I'm telling you, divide and conquer, my friend. Pick your allies correctly, and we're good to go. We're good to go. So it's been crazy. I suspect that it's going to wind down. I suspect it's going to wind down. I want to see what happens tomorrow. Do they attack Hillbrow? That's about the main big thing I'm hearing. What I may do tomorrow is I'm actually thinking of driving out. There's a hill nearby, and I'll see if I can take my binoculars and go and have a bit of a look, see if there's anything I can see. From the low level sort of hills that I was on, I couldn't see any particular signs of fire or anything. You must understand that Johannesburg, from the western side of Johannesburg to the eastern side of Johannesburg, is easily 100 kilometers. You've got large numbers of people living in a very compressed space. There's like about 20 million people living in this area. So there are a lot of people here. And these things can be happening very far away. I'll see what I can pick up tomorrow, but I need to actually get information out, the stuff that I've got. You'll see some very interesting stuff. I'll give you some kind of insights into some of the things that have been happening. I'll see what video and audio and photo footage I can get up. But yeah, it's been quite crazy. And it's blacks on blacks. It's got nothing to do with us. And I was just thinking the greatest thing of all is, hey, the blacks are busy busting everything that's to do with liberals, that's to do with economics. They are chomping off the hand that's feeding them. And I'm not concerned. The normal whites who live here, we're not the ones who own these shops that were destroyed. The blacks went and destroyed other people's shops. They destroyed the shops of other blacks. And they tore down a shop belonging to Walmart. So that's some quick news roundup for you, just to give you an idea of a wild, wild day in South Africa. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.